Hello, my name is J. Lewis Mills, for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lend me something. I need you to lend me your ear, and I need you to lend me your common sense. I need you to come join me. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. It's about time that we let it all out. Join me. I want to hear from you. Hey, what's up? You got J. Lewis Mills here on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Today, I am coming to you from the wonderful Sunset Gower Studios here in Hollywood, California. I'm coming to you today from Sunset Gower Studios because today is my first video show. Yay, first show. Woo. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you like it. I really think you're going to like my guest. I am very eager to start talking to my guest, so I am going to just give a quick little introduction to my guest. His name is Robert David Steele. He is a former CIA clandestine security officer. He is currently now an activist. He works with an organization, hashtag UNRIG, U-N-R-I-G, not unrigged, hashtag U-N-R-I-G. I have so many questions to ask Mr. Steele. Let's just get right to it. Mr. Steele, sir, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I hope you'll call me Robert. My dad is Mr. Steele. And I'm just so honored and happy to be on your show. This is a great opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly for agreeing to do this with me. And just so you know, I have the absolute utmost respect for you. So it's going to be a little difficult for me to just do the Robert thing, but I will try my best. I'll do my best. Can you begin, Robert, by explaining to the listeners what hashtag UNRIG is, when it started, and how you got to be a part of it?
Well, what a great question. It started in 2011 when Occupy became a thing. Yes. And I briefed the Occupy Working Group on electoral reform, and I was trying to make the point that the whole system is rigged. In fact, I was the first one to say it, and the YouTube went viral on Reddit. It made the front page of Reddit. It's a 6-minute YouTube, Robert Steele on electoral reform, posted by Phil Small. Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, I ran for president, and I did not know that we had 8 political parties that are accredited, that are blocked. 6 of them are blocked by the two-party tyranny.
So, really?
Yes, sir. I had to run for president to learn this. So you have the Constitution Party, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Natural Law Party, the Reform Party, and the Socialist Party. And of those, only the Green and the Libertarian parties are kind of real big parties, third parties. But then you also have emerging parties like Working Families in New York and the Justice Party out west with Rocky Anderson. They're also blocked from ballot access. So I dropped out. I withdrew. Andre Barnett, a man of color, a bodybuilder, was the presidential candidate that ultimately got the nomination, and he and I are still friends. Okay. And we've talked about this, and we've talked about bringing Michael Jordan and others into the deal because the system is rigged. What I then did was I spent a couple of years actually studying all of the different ways in which it's rigged. And it turns out there are 12 different ways in which the system is rigged.
Wow.
Okay. And so you can't fix one of them, like campaign finance reform or electronic vote tampering. You have to fix all of them. It's a holistic solution.
Is it a situation where you can... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Please. What did you ask?
Is it a situation where you say you can't fix just one, you have to fix all 12. Is it a situation where all 12... can be fixed at one time, or
yes,
do you think the problem
yes, sir.
Is?
It is okay. A situation where all 12 can be fixed at one time, but we the people have to want them fixed.
Okay.
And we have to demand of our representatives that they sign the Integrity Act and commit to actually fixing it. And that's the challenge. And that's why Dr. McKinney is so valuable. because when I decided to start hashtag Unrigged, after Donald Trump said the system is rigged, some of us voted for him thinking that he would unrig the system. And yet it looks like he's become the system. He looks like he's rolled over and played dead for the deep state. So I still am a fan of Donald Trump as a disruptor, but I don't believe he has the interest in leading Americans in unrigging the system. He has done nothing to reach out to women of color, to people of color, to single moms, to students, to the elderly with medical debt. It's like he's sitting back on his fat ass and saying, well, I control the Republican Senate and the Republican House, so the hell with all of you, I'm just going to make decisions here. And he's making decisions in favor of Israel and Saudi Arabia, not in favor of the United States of America.
Do you think that Donald Trump was the best person nominated to the job from everyone
That's an absolutely super, super question. And to answer that question, I have to tell you that Gary Johnson has lost too many brain cells to drugs. Okay. What's an Aleppo is Gary Johnson at his best. And Jill Stein, I mean, anybody that spray paints a piece of construction equipment is stupid. And she just disgraced the entire Green Party, which Dr. McKinney was the presidential candidate for in 2008. My short answer is that of all of the candidates that were running in the primaries, I personally would have preferred John Kasich with someone like Dennis Kucinich as a crossover vice president. But that wasn't meant to be. So of all of the candidates, Donald Trump was the best in terms of being a disruptor. He wasn't supposed to win. Bookmakers were against him. His own Cambridge Analytica firm said he had a 20% chance of winning. He won by accident. And then when he won by accident, he immediately started worrying about being assassinated, and he started making deals. He took 9 Goldman Sachs guys. He took in 54 Ashkenazi Jews to run the whole financial system. He cut a deal with Rents Priebus, who's an establishment guy, as his chief of staff. Rents Priebus has betrayed Donald Trump on multiple occasions. He is the deep state. Mike Pence works for George Bush and Dick Cheney and is best friends with Paul Ryan. He is not Donald Trump's friend. So Trump has essentially surrounded himself with traitors, Wall Street specialists, and miscreants, including Herbert McMaster, who's a traitor. McMaster conspired with McCain and John Brennan to get the Saudis and the Israelis to fund the White Helmet false flag operation, which was supposed to bring in 150,000 troops, U.S. troops, into Syria to have a kind of Iraq stage 3. Right. So bottom line, let's not talk about Trump and his failures. Let us say God bless Donald Trump because he opened people's eyes to the fact that it's a rigged system.
Yes.
So what
do you think Donald Trump speaking of a rigged system, I guess this is a two-part question. First part of the question is, do you think Donald Trump won the nomination, even though, you know, let me just say this. I'm one of those people. I believe Donald Trump was elected in a fair and legal way. Am I going to really believe that Russia really manipulated our whole election? No. I personally, and I'm just a citizen, so I personally don't believe that. So my question to you, sir, is do you think that because the system is a rigged system, do you think that that is how Donald Trump was able to come outside of the political world and win? And when you made mention of Mr. Trump having, you know, the traitors and everybody around him, do you think that the lack of political savvy, not experience, but the lack of political savvy that Donald Trump has, do you think that's what allows these miscreants and fountains of misinformation to constantly be around him?
Yes, and they're filtering his stuff. You've asked a lot of important questions. Let me start with, how did Donald Trump win the Republican nomination? He won it because the Republicans never saw Twitter coming. Twitter is what got Donald Trump elected. Mm-hmm. And he was an absolute genius at what's called earned media.
I agree.
This guy even gave his wife's naked pictures out in order to get publicity for himself. Okay. Yeah. And she's still pissed off about that. And she should be.
Yes, she should be.
He's committed some major family sins here at multiple levels from 2006 right up to last night.
But they say at any cost, though, right?
They
say at any cost, though.
Well, he won, but he hurt his wife very, very much. And I don't think he should have, because his wife helped him win this election. His wife passed the smell test with America. She's an elegant, gracious lady. And if I were Donald Trump, I would be thinking about how to get back in her good graces, because this is really important. But he won because the system was rigged to put Jeb Bush in, and then it collapsed when Donald Trump was able to basically just destroy everybody.
Yeah.
But he also won by accident because Hillary Clinton was not able to steal the 13 states from Donald Trump that she stole from Bernie Sanders. Stanford University has documented that she stole 13 states from Bernie Sanders in the primaries using electronic voting machine fraud. All of these electronic voting machines are designed for fraud. They have what's called fractional voting so that you can predetermine who wins before one vote is cast. And that's why one of our corrective measures is paper ballots counted publicly.
Yeah.
But then Hillary Clinton had the misfortune, if you will, of being caught out as an electoral fraud person, as a charity fraud person, as a traitor selling American uranium to Russia, selling Libya to the French, selling Syria and Yemen to the Saudis. Mm-hmm. And finally, she had the pedophilia scandal with Podesta, which—
I'm going to get into that. I want to get into that a little later.
Dale, I will gladly get into that with you. I will just say right now that the Republican Party is going to collapse in the next year because of a pedophilia scandal that will take down two governors, at least four senators, and maybe the vice president of the United States. Okay. Now, the other thing that killed Hillary was the Anthony Weiner laptop and the Spaz attack on 9/11. The public saw her flopping like a fish and falling forward into her disguised ambulance. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of Hillary Clinton, from where I sit. So Donald Trump won by accident. And then, of course, the deep state panicked and they tried to flip the Electoral College with all these lies about the Russians hacking the election. I'm one of the original hacker advocates. I opened Hackers on Planet Earth in 1994. I wrote the first warning letter to the White House in 1994. I introduced NSA to hackers, to my eternal regret, in 1993. The Russians did not hack the election, and I am proud to say I tore John Brennan a new asshole on Russia Today. I am one of 29 people, among us about six spies, who systematically tore apart the lies that John Brennan did. My most popular Kindle short is called Soft Coup Burning Crap, in which I tear down the CIA report line by line. And on page A13, the CIA report says, our findings are not based on evidence. I am quoting, JL, our findings are not based on evidence. These guys were pulling it out of their ass, okay?
How is that possible? How is that? I can only say it like this. How is that legal? Like, how can
don't something confuse legal and possible in the spy business.
Okay.
Look, I'll tell you what my biggest shock has been. I used to be very proud of being a spy. It was like being a Jesuit priest. You know, you kind of assume that you're in God's good eyes, God's good grace, and you're doing righteous things for your country. It turns out spying is a load of crap. It's a lie. And it doesn't produce very much. General Tony Zinni is on record as saying that he got, at best, 4% of what he needed from the secret world when he was commanding general of CENTCOM, fighting two wars with 12 joint task force actions around the world. The secret community is worthless at producing decision support. The biggest shock to me as a former spy and presidential candidate and all this other stuff, top Amazon reviewer, has been that in the last 3 years, I have realized that the primary business of the secret intelligence community is protecting its budget by spying on and blackmailing all of our members of Congress. The FBI, the CIA, and NSA are spying on and blackmailing every member of Congress.
So that is a real thing. That is
yes,
a thing.
Yes, sir. I would swear to you on the heads of my three children. Yes, that is a real thing.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay. That kind of. Okay. Well,
let me just go ahead with you, JL, because one of the things that you're starting to experience is what a lot of people experience when John Brennan basically told one lie too many. Mm-hmm. They suddenly realized the secret intelligence community was not there to defend America and it could not be trusted. At the same time, the public has realized that the fake news media, the crap news network, Fox News with three idiots in the morning and five idiots in the evening, the mm-hmm. Washington Post, the New York Times, they're all crap. They're all spinning a narrative that has been defined by the deep state. Now, let me emphasize that the deep state is the bankers, the Rothschilds and the Jesuits, the Black Pope controlling the City of London and Wall Street. They control the two-party tyranny and the Secret Intelligence Service and the media. The politicals, the spies, and the media are the best of the servant class. They're not the deep state deciders. That's in the banking world, okay? When a banker wants to make money, he starts a war because that basically changes the price of oil and futures and all of that stuff. Nobody in America, including Donald Trump, gives a rat's ass about you and me. Nobody in Washington, whether in the White House or Congress, cares about protecting Main Street and helping the average American get through what is a certain economic collapse that is coming in September of this year. Martin Armstrong has never been wrong. So let me throw it back to you, and I would just say to you, do not underestimate the degree of treason and criminality within the U.S. government at the highest levels of every single agency, including the White House.
You know, see, here's my thing on that, too. I do believe, you know, that the impossible is possible. And it seems to me, unfortunately, we live in a society to where if it's something that is absolutely just erroneously unbelievable, more often than not, it's actually happening.
Yes.
You know? So when I hear of stories like this, yes, my initial is, are you serious? But then at the same time, I have to sit and say, yeah, I mean, I can see it. It doesn't just happen on TV. It doesn't just happen in film. And when it does happen in TV and when it does happen in film, it's not always something that is just conjured up from a screenwriter's mind.
You know, remember the movie The Matrix?
Yes.
And yes. Where basically all these babies were being used as batteries, mm-hmm. and this whole reality was completely made up.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I really admire named John Rappaport, and he's written a whole series on The Matrix. And what we're basically living in is a fabricated reality. We're living in a world in which we're told we have the expectation that our government is giving us food that is safe to eat, air that is safe to breathe, ground that is safe to walk on, vaccines that actually protect us. All of that is a lie. The Center for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administrations are criminal agencies. They are in the pockets of agriculture and the food industry and the medical industry. Their job is to legalize crime. All right? So vaccines are sterilizing women, mostly black women. Okay? Vaccines are causing diseases. The food is making the public fat and stupid. There's actually a wonderful YouTube about the weaponization of food. Okay? We have become a very unhealthy society because we are a profit center. The banks don't make money on having a healthy, happy America. They make money on having a fat, unhappy America.
Would you go so far as to say we are almost basically just either guinea pigs, experimental mice, or cogs, just
slaves.
In a machine?
Let's use the slave word.
You would go that far?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We are chickens being harvested. Okay? I mean, a guy wrote a book called Animal Farm. I mean, he saw the future. Look, if you think about it, most people are basically living a life in a cubicle.
Okay? Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's there's no difference between a cubicle and a cow stall. There is no difference.
I like that.
Okay? I mean, it's time for us to be free. And one of the things that I love Cynthia McKinney for is she has been saying more and more recently that all the bad things that happened to black people are now happening to white people.
Yeah, yeah. Come on over. Exactly. Sit down. We'll tell you all about it. We'll give you the handbook. Sit down. We'll let you know how to handle this. Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so it's actually pretty serious, cool stuff. Because what George Soros is busy trying to do is create a color war and a gender war and a class war. He and the deep state are trying to divide and conquer. And the reason that Cynthia and I, with help from Dr. Randy Short, a brother in Washington, D.C., a Harvard-educated PhD, Randy Short gave us the idea of adding to hashtag UnRig. We're calling it hashtag UnRig, the summer of peace. And it's a direct opposite to hashtag resist the summer of violence. I mean, you have Loretta Lynch, who is so stupid she could be a cracker. Okay, this is a woman who called on YouTube for blood in the streets.
Yes, she did.
She's a disgrace to all of us. And I say that with love, because I judge a person by whether they've got ethics and intelligence. And you have both, and I have both, and Cynthia McKinney has both. And so what I see happening here, we actually want to push forward the idea of hashtag UnRig and hashtag resist meeting in the center, setting aside all ideological and issue differences and creating the second American Revolution. So,
in theory, it sounds like a perfect marriage.
Yes, it does. If you can get rid of all of the violent protesters dressed in black being funded by George Soros. And if you can overcome, just a real quick thought, I'm an alt-right guy, okay? I'm alt-right, white, male, Latino. Cynthia is alt-left, black, female. And that's why the beauty of this is like we're like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul in some ways.
Okay.
And we've come together. And the problem I'm having with the alt-right is they don't believe that black people are willing to leave the Democratic Party. And what Dr. McKinney is saying is, yes, they are, if Donald Trump will give them some tangible policy demonstration of love. I'm not feeling the love from Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think anybody is feeling the love from Donald Trump, including his wife.
I was about to say, including his wife.
Including his wife. We're on the same wavelength here. I mean, a guy's got to be right. And so where we think we have an opportunity here is because Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders showed so many people that the system is rigged. We think we just started a meetup called Civics. And then in the tagline is hashtag UnRigged. We just started a national meetup, and we've got a press release coming out on Monday asking the entire country to meet up in every congressional district and have a conversation about putting integrity back into the government. It was Cynthia's idea to call We the People, Reform Coalition, Unity for Integrity. The whole idea here is we set aside all issues about guns and germs and drugs and everything, although I strongly support the legalization of marijuana and hemp. We set aside all issues and we focus only on restoring an honest Congress that can keep the White House under control. Okay? Right now we have a dishonest Congress that does not control the White House, does not exercise Article 1 of the Constitution, the power of the purse, the power to declare war, and so forth. We want the members of Congress to live in fear of their constituents. That's not what's happening today. They are treating their constituents as disposable patsies, and they are doing the bidding of Wall Street. And they are also being blackmailed. They're being blackmailed by the CIA, the FBI, NSA, the Mossad, the Saudis, Goldman Sachs. They're being bribed and they're being blackmailed. And so Dr. McKinney and I have a solution. In addition to election reform, we want the president to offer a presidential pardon to every single member of Congress on condition that they sit down and they agree to disclose what they're being blackmailed about and who is doing the blackmail. Then I want to run the blackmailers out of town.
Do you think, to two questions, do you think that is something that will, I mean, it sounds good in theory, right, but do you really think that the congressmen and women will feel protected enough?
You know, it's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. And what I would say to you is that on the one hand, all of them feel dirty and abused. They all realize, you know, they're just a higher class of slave. And they all know that they're being sodomized by the system, if you will. I think a lot of them would like to be free. The problem here is that Donald Trump is not using his presidential authority in clever ways.
Do you think that's because he does not, again, going back to the, you know, political experience thing, do you think he's not putting forth the effort that he needs to because he just doesn't know and the people around him are not saying, you know, hey, you can, this is what you can do? Or do you think he's not putting that effort forward just because he doesn't want to?
There is no one working for Donald Trump that is an iconoclast who wants to bring down the deep state. Everybody working for Donald Trump is either a family member with an agenda, and in the case of Jared Kushner, a family member with an agenda who works for Israel and wants to give Saudi Arabia nuclear weapons so they can have a nuclear war with Iran, which is totally insane.
Absolutely.
Or they are an establishment figure. I mean, Trump is being chumped. Okay. Rents Priebus, the first thing Rents Priebus did was put all of his people into the Office of Presidential Personnel, and they're channeling all the establishment bubbas into the workforce. Trump has lost control of presidential personnel. Okay. At the same time, Trump has no idea what the country is thinking because Rents Priebus controls the White House comment line and what Donald Trump is told about it. We also have screenshots of the White House petition website. I have a very talented young teenager that took, not my son, but another fan, a guy who volunteered, and he took screenshots of our petition to talk to President Trump, to have President Trump meet Dr. McKinney and myself. And he has screenshots of the petition climbing up 50 votes and then dropping down 30 votes, climbing up 50 votes and then dropping down 30 votes.
Wow.
The system is rigged at every level. And Rents Priebus is the guy that is managing the day-to-day rigging of everything having to do with the White House. Okay? And then Mike Pence works for Dick Cheney and George Bush. He doesn't work for Donald Trump. He's there waiting for Trump to be impeached, and he's doing everything he can to betray Donald Trump. He created a political action committee, and he's been going around recruiting Trump supporters, who then call Trump up and say, hey, Pence just tried to recruit me to support him for president when you fall. Okay? I mean, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
If it does work out that Donald Trump does get impeached, like so many people are saying, first of all, I want people to understand, just because a president is impeached doesn't mean he has to leave office. They have to, if I'm not mistaken,
they have to convict him.
They have to convict him. Okay.
Right.
So, would it be, I mean, if this whole thing is going to happen, let me just ask my question. If this whole thing were to happen, wouldn't it be smarter to get rid of Mike Pence first?
Yes.
And then get rid of President
Yes.
Trump?
Well, actually, I don't want to get rid of Trump.
I'm just saying, if it happens, wouldn't it be smart to get rid of Pence?
Well, the problem
first?
Is that behind Pence is Paul Ryan.
That's what my next point was going to be. But you still have to look at the fact that the next person in line is Paul Ryan. So
right.
It's like,
so let me
which
give
one
you
is
my
the lesser
ideal,
of two evils?
Here's my ideal solution. My ideal. Well, first off, let's jump into pedophilia for a minute because it bears on this question.
That's okay? What my next subject was going to be.
Right now, if we don't have an Election Reform Act, it is virtually certain that the Democrats will retake the House of Representatives, and they will immediately impeach Donald Trump.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Trump is relying on holding the Senate. And that's what Steve Bannon and Mike Pence and Reince Priebus are all telling him. Mr. President, you could ignore the rest of the country. You don't have to go out and campaign. You don't have to care about the 73% that did not vote for you. You don't have to care about the 26% that voted for you, half of us being very angry. What he's done in Syria and with NATO and the UN has violated all of his promises to us. Okay.
Real quick. What happened in Syria? Do you think that was Donald Trump, or do you think that was Donald Trump's advisors beefing him up to do that?
I think it was both. Part of the problem with Trump is he's impetuous and he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I give Mike Pompeo at CIA a lot of credit. Pompeo was number one in his class at West Point, which is like genius status.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't get to be number one at West Point without having a brain bigger than the next 10 people in line.
Yeah.
And the energy to go with it without sleep for 4 years. Pompeo told Trump that it was a false flag attack. We know it was a false flag attack. We know that John McCain and John Brennan and Herbert McMaster co-conspired with Saudi Arabia and Israel they paid the white helmets $300,000 to $400,000 to do this false flag attack. An MIT professor has done a great job showing that it was an improvised ground explosive. There was no sarin. Okay. The problem is that Trump and his daughter got sucked into this vortex of fake pictures, and they didn't believe Mike Pompeo. Who, to his credit, because normally CIA would have encouraged warmongering, because CIA is part of the deep state. They want a war in the Middle East. That's part of how their budget grows, and they get promotions, and then they get bigger contracts when they retire and stuff like that. The whole system is rigged for war and waste, and it's rigged against peace and prosperity for the average person. Okay? So Trump is his own worst enemy here. It was Trump that made the decision to do a missile attack rather than hold back. Now, I would contrast Trump with Putin. Look at how measured Putin was when Barack Obama lied to the American public and expelled 35 Russian officers based on lies. Putin did not retaliate. Putin was presidential. Mm-hmm. Trump threw a hissy fit. I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to throw a rock. Okay. I'm not impressed. Now, having said that, let me emphasize, Donald Trump is our legitimately elected president. If he can be saved, I want to help save him. In my view, the ideal scenario is Trump offers Pence a pardon, mm-hmm. because Pence is dirty at multiple levels. Mm-hmm. He offers Pence a pardon in return for Pence's resignation. And if I were Pence, I'd move to Australia or New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because there is crap coming behind him that he knows what he's done. What he doesn't know is how many people are coming forward now with the details.
Okay. Before we get to the pedophilia thing, which I'm telling you, I really want to get to that. But I have one question for you. After sitting here for almost a half hour listening to you, after doing the research that I did about you, it just brings one question, and this is an opinion of yours, of course, but in doing my research of you, Robert, I saw where you said that Bernie Sanders blew you off, Sean Hannity will not interview you, and I remember you saying you've tried getting in touch with President Trump with no response. So my question to you is this. In your opinion, why do you think these three people with a platform are refusing your help or to speak to you?
That's a fair question. I would say that in the case of Bernie Sanders, a lot of people don't know that he lost one election in his life. Many, many years ago, the Democrats put up a challenger to Bernie Sanders in Vermont, and he lost. Okay. He went groveling back to the Democrats on his hands and knees, and he said, if you never put up a challenger against me, I will be the most loyal Democrat on the planet. And so it came to pass. Bernie Sanders is a sheepdog for the Democratic Party. His People's Party is sheepdog 2.0. Now, Donald Trump, part of Trump's problem is he's a narcissist with a big ego and a thin skin.
Yes.
And I have been critical of Donald Trump, and I'm not going to change. I cannot tell a lie. Okay. One of the things with recovering spies is they suddenly become come to Jesus religious about telling the truth.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell a lie. Here's my ideal scenario. My ideal scenario is Trump gets Pence to resign and takes Cynthia McKinney on as vice president because she's not a threat to him. Even though she's a six-term congresswoman, she's the first black woman elected out of Georgia, she is alt-left. And she would be to Donald Trump what she is to me, but at a much higher level. And she also has the legislative experience that Pence has, so she would be the president of the Senate, and she would work that side of the House. But then what Donald Trump needs to do is stop playing the deep state game by deep state rules. Mm-hmm. On the deep state court, which is called Washington, D.C., he needs to champion hashtag on rig and the Election Reform Act so that he can get 20 to 30 libertarians, Greens, and independents into Congress and the Senate, 10 senators who are not part of the two-party tyranny. And he needs to restore integrity to Congress because right now the two-party tyranny is his worst enemy.
Yes, it is. It is.
Right.
Do you think that if Miss McKinney were to be named, let's just say it happens,
Vice President.
Miss McKinney is named the new vice president to Donald Trump if Mike Pence is taken out. Taken out of office. Please understand that's what I meant when I said taken.
Resigned with dignity.
Yes, resigned with dignity. Thank you. If that were to happen, what do you think would stop the American people from saying Cynthia McKinney is just a token? Cynthia McKinney was just put in place to try and get black people to listen. What's going to stop that from happening? How would that not actually blow up in her face, so to speak?
Part of, you know, one of my big words is holistic. Okay? You got to do it all. And you have to do it all together. All right? First off, Cynthia McKinney is one of the most gracious ladies I have ever met. And she's got ethics that run deep. And you cannot meet her without being impressed. She is authentic. And I think I'm also authentic. But together, I mean, this is really something we share. Mm-hmm. It's a three-part solution. Part one is Cynthia McKinney and Donald Trump need to get on the road and talk to people. What I've been saying for a while now is he needs to change the rules of the game and play the game on his court. Where Donald Trump excels is in the field with the people. Now, he hasn't done well with anyone other than white people. Okay?
Yeah.
He needs to broaden. I mean, my dream team would be Donald Trump, Cynthia McKinney, Jesse Ventura, Ralph Nader, Mike Huckabee, Brother Cornel West, who I happen to love. I mean, democracy.
So much respect for Mr. West. I just got to say.
Dr. West's book, Democracy Matters, is a Nobel level piece of work. Okay. And Larry Summers is a fat white boy with no brain for the way he disrespected Dr. West at Harvard. I mean, Summers is basically a Pratt boy for the deep state. So imagine this rainbow coalition going across the country saying the system is rigged and we're going to unrig it together. Donald Trump would return to Washington with 50 to 60% of the public behind him and Dr. McKinney, and he would become the greatest president ever. There was absolutely no question in my mind. And frankly, the job that I want is director of the open source agency, which I have, CIA has fought me for this on this for 30 years. The open source agency would do what the secret intelligence world is supposed to do, decision support, using only legal, ethical, inexpensive sources and methods.
Okay. Okay. That kind of brings up another question that I have. I don't even know how to ask this, so I'll just come out directly. How is it possible that waterboarding and any other kind of torture is supposed to be used in order to get information when my opinion is, I'm not saying sit down, hold somebody's hand, coddle them, and tell them everything is going to be okay, but to me, it seems like you can get more information if you try and talk to somebody. So it seems to me, I'm not going to necessarily say it's just our government, but it seems to me our government is sending the wrong people at times to get information. It's like if you send a bully for something, the only way they know how to get it is to beat you up. But if you send somebody with a level head and some level of intelligence, they kind of know how to finesse stuff out of people. So how is it – how has it ever been a logical thing?
It's not. There is no logic to what the U.S. government does. Now, let me unpack that at several levels. And I have written an academic book review in which I compare two books. One is the nonfiction book by Robert Gates and a couple of others that claims that torture worked. And the other one is a fictional book, Broken, by one of the top SEER instructors, Michael Kearns, who's a friend of mine. And I will tell you, I was one of the first guys who chased terrorists in the 1980s for CIA. Waterboarding does not work. Waterboarding is what macho shit morons do when they don't know any better. And the reason CIA paid so much money for waterboarding is because CIA is mostly fat, pasty-faced white boys with a lot of authority and no real world experience. Most of CIA is a cubicle dweller. They're not
really
people. Yes. Very, very few of us are actually clandestine case officers on the street. Most CIA people spend their entire life in a cubicle in Washington, D.C.
Wow. I'm sorry, but wow.
Hey, I mean, you know, look, this whole waterboarding thing, the guys who sold waterboarding to CIA are not only traitors, they're criminals, and they're mentally defective, okay? That should never have happened. And part of the problem is that there's no oversight in our government. The IGs, the Inspector General system is broken. Congressional oversight is lipstick on the pig. The Department of Justice is vapid. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is a theatrical agency. It doesn't actually do counterintelligence. In fact, it spends most of its time creating false terrorist cells. There's an excellent book called The Terror Factory about how FBI handcrafted each of the 175 terrorist cases to include paying a retarded Muslim kid $3,000 to move out on his mom, get an apartment, and start a terrorist cell. And then they arrest him. This is the insanity that is your day-to-day routine U.S. government business. Have a nice day.
Okay, we're starting to run short on time. I have a couple of other subjects, but this one is what the one I've been waiting for. Can you please, in as much detail of how you got this information, can you please expound on the four senators, two governors, and Mike Pence that could in some way have a tie to the world of pedophilia?
Okay. Let me start with the statement that all of my knowledge is indirect. It's based on reading and listening to people and also emails that I've been getting from Indiana. let me point out to your listeners and viewers that we had something called the Franklin scandal in Nebraska. There's a book about it.
Okay.
And it basically nailed everyone from the governor on down to the people running Boys Town for being pedophiles who were taking children out of Boys Town and raping them and sodomizing them and doing evil things to them. So that's kind of one side of the story. Then you have Denny Hassert, Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm.
who's a convicted pedophile. Okay?
I'm sorry?
Denny Hassert, Speaker of the House, is a convicted pedophile.
Okay, so the Speaker of the House is a convicted pedophile, but 7-Eleven won't hire you if you're a registered sex offender.
He was former Speaker of the House, and then he's no longer Speaker of the House. He was destroyed by this. He was a former Speaker of the House. Basically, as a high school wrestling coach,
okay,
he was abusing and sodomizing school children.
Okay.
And he paid hush money and so forth and finally caught up with him.
Okay.
Then you have the movie called Spotlight.
Yes.
Which is about the Boston and the Catholic Church and the diocese. All right. Now, let me add a whole bunch of other pieces. There are lots of documented cases where child protective services are taking children away from families and selling them to pedophiles. There are cases of elements of the Catholic Church taking babies from unwed mothers and selling them to pedophiles. Okay?
The Catholic Church?
Yes. Yes. You have Hillary Clinton's number one lady caught in Haiti trafficking in children. And Clinton used the full power of the U.S. government to get that woman out of jail. She was trafficking in children for Hillary Clinton. Okay.
When you say for Hillary, and I'm sorry to keep cutting you off,
Robert.
The
Clinton Foundation, no, I'm with you, man. The Clinton Foundation is a major child trafficker.
I did not know that. I have to be honest.
I don't know that either, but I'm reading all this stuff, and it's very clear that the Clinton Foundation, among other things, is a massive charity fraud. Charles Ortel has done a lot of good work on this. But what we just had this is just so, I mean, I'm sponsoring a book on pedophilia, and it's going to be published one chapter at a time on Kindle Shorts and free online. It's by Joachim Hagopain, who is a West Point graduate, a very talented investigative journalist, and he is documenting this book with links and everything. And so we're documenting pedophilia around the world. I mean, Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan are two of the most pedophile nations on the planet. Okay. I mean, little boys are groomed from birth to be little sex slaves, and then they're murdered and they're blood drunk.
Blood is drunk.
Peter Thiel, you know Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley guy?
Yes.
He's just come out publicly and said that he has transfusions of children's blood because it's an anti-aging device. Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley billionaire. If you just do a search for Peter Thiel children's blood transfusions, you'll get right to it. Now, the part that he's not telling you is that the real value in anti-aging is when the child has been terrorized to death so that their blood is adrenalized. Now, let me give you an analogy that most people understand. The Chinese have a practice of boiling dogs to death because it changes the flavor of the meat. It adrenalizes the dog's blood and changes the flavor of the meat. This is the closest analogy I can come to terrorizing a child into death. I mean, imagine a child being sodomized, choked to death, and having the female partner of the individual from Indiana putting a sword into that child's heart at the same time, and then you drink their blood.
That's a thing. That's really a thing.
I tell you that I have no direct knowledge, but I would be willing to bet my house on it.
Okay. So.
And I apologize. It's really ugly stuff. But the reason it matters, I'm a commissioner on an international tribunal of justice that is doing a year-long project on pedophilia. Mm-hmm. So I have some privileged knowledge. The reason it matters is because I have said that pedophilia is the last veil. Pedophilia is the Achilles heel of the deep state. All this stuff that people have not wanted to believe about bankers. For example, the Great Depression was a planned depression. Wall Street planned the Great Depression. They did not lose money. The purpose of the Great Depression, here's an excellent, excellent book, The Fruits of Graft. The purpose of the Great Depression was to destroy the middle class mm-hmm. that was rising up and threatening to take political power away from the bankers. It was to further concentrate wealth, including property and land holdings, and it was to further increase the control of the banks over the federal government. And FDR was a complicit part of that deal. Okay, if you want a really great guy to interview, I would recommend Wayne Jett, the author of this book. Okay,
I would love to. I would love to.
I would be honored to introduce you to anybody I know because you're asking intelligent questions and it's really clear that you've got a grip on all this. Okay, so pedophilia matters mostly because after understanding that we have a rigged system, the mm-hmm. next big step in enlightenment is understanding that we have an evil system. We have a system that is satanic at the top.
You know, I've heard that. And I mean, of course, it's one of those things that you don't want to believe. But I mean, I heard that going as far back as Ronald Reagan, you know, when
yes,
I was a kid.
And George Bush. George Bush is part of it. And by the
yeah,
way,
he was part of the
Kennedy assassination. George Bush, the father, was an active member of the assassination plot against John F. Kennedy. Okay. And you have Hollywood celebrities are a huge part of the satanic cult. I mean, these people think that they're a special elite that can do anything with impunity. And you know, we have 1 million missing kids in this country. A year. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's per year. But the bottom line here is there is no justice in this country. We have 18,000 police jurisdictions that don't give a rat's ass about a missing kid. And the FBI is not a serious national counterintelligence agency. They can't even figure out what they had for lunch yesterday. I mean, these guys are pathetic.
Do you think that the problems, I mean, clearly we have problems here in this country. Every country does, you know, so I'm not saying that we're any worse than any other country. But because of the problems that we have here, because of the magnitude of the problems that we have here in my lifetime, in your lifetime, do you realistically think that America will be made great again? And the back end of that question, what does that even mean, make America great again?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. If I were president, I would immediately nationalize the Federal Reserve, close all of our military bases overseas, bring back our military and rebuild the military at half the cost, focused only on defense, based only at home. I would eliminate the Internal Revenue Service, eliminate all taxes except for a tiny transaction tax. Right now, the tax system is based on the backs of the poor and the middle class. Mm-hmm. There are no taxes on corporations and banks. And if you have an automated payment transaction tax, you can actually tax every transaction, including currency and stock transactions. I don't think the federal government should own land. All of this land
True.
That has been taken away from the states should be returned to the states. I certainly think we should have national parks, but the states should decide what portions of their land will be national parks. Right now, the federal government owns just about everything west of the Mississippi, which is insane.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, if you want to make America great again,
mm-hmm.
you have to focus on Main Street, not Wall Street. You have
yes.
to focus on the average American. You also have to be honest. I like to say the truth at any cost lowers all other costs. Right now, Donald Trump has a dishonest health plan and a dishonest tax plan. He has a dishonest military and a dishonest Department of State. He has a dishonest Department of Justice, okay? I mean, I like Jeff Sessions, but he is so far out wrong on marijuana, which is being used to put black people in jail so we can gentrify their neighborhoods.
Okay. Do you think Jeff Sessions is a racist?
The short answer is yes, because growing up the way he grew up, I don't think you can help being that. I mean, I grew up with seven servants. I mean, we had an upstairs maid, a downstairs maid, a cook, a cook's assistant, a driver, a gardener. And it never occurred to me that that wasn't the way life was supposed to be. Okay, and it wasn't until I bunked with people of color in the Marine Corps that I really understood that we all have red blood and we have dark green Marines and light green Marines, and you know, there's this equality thing going on. However, I think Sessions is inherently a good man, despite the fact that he was brought up with the absolute deep conviction that black people are inferior human beings. And so we need to get past that. But my bottom line is that Sessions and Trump have done something right but premature, which is the pedophilia arrests. They should have done electoral reform first. They should have created their base across the country first and then gone after the pedophiles. Because of the way in which Trump won and because of the pedophilia stuff, the deep state is in a massive panic right now. And so they're doing everything they can to impeach Trump and put Pence in. I absolutely guarantee you, if Mike Pence becomes president, all action against all pedophiles will stop instantly. That's my humble opinion.
Okay. Last question, because we are running out of time. Again, in doing my research, you had an interesting opinion about Vice President Cheney and his involvement in 9/11.
Yes, he ran it.
Yes. Can you explain what you mean by that first part of the question? And second part of the question, how is it that even after leaving office, Dick Cheney has been able to basically dodge prosecution?
Well, you know, Larry Summers once told Elizabeth Warren that insiders don't criticize insiders. Well, insiders don't prosecute insiders either. The two-party tyranny is one bird, two wings, same crap. For example, Senator Pat Roberts was about to lose his last race for the Senate in Kansas. Mm-hmm. He called in a favor from Joe Biden. Joe Biden went on national television and told the people of Kansas that he was really looking forward to welcoming the independent challenger to Senator Roberts into the Democratic caucus. That was a political assassination.
Yeah.
On the morning of the election. This is how the two-party tyranny deals with independents. Okay? We don't have, I mean, Matt Taibbi's written an excellent book called Griftopia, which is about the merger of political and financial crime. We have a rigged system across the board, politically, economically, culturally, academically. The whole system is rigged. But the one intervention point is election reform. Now, let me come back to Dick Cheney. 13 countries warned us in advance of 9/11. Mm-hmm. Dick Cheney said, "Hallelujah, brother," and he made it his own. He scheduled a national counterterrorism exercise for the day, months in advance. And then he orchestrated the pieces, working with Larry Silverstein and Donald Rumsfeld and some others. He orchestrated the pieces so that on 9/11, we brought to fulfillment the Gold War against Russia that Buzzy Krongard had been running from CIA for Brown and Root and Deutsche Bank. We spent $250 billion. If people look up Black Eagle Trust, we have waged a nuclear economic war against Russia since 1998. And we're lucky they haven't nuked one of our cities.
Yeah.
Because what we have done to Russia is fully the equivalent of massive sustained acts of war.
Do you think Rudy Giuliani had anything to do with...
The short answer is, I'm not sure, but I'm told that Giuliani had to be restrained from entering the buildings right before the attack, as if he was unwitting. But I think immediately after the attack, he was fully complicit in destroying the crime scene. Now, let me just finish up. Cheney basically organized with Larry Silverstein the largest insurance fraud in history. Insurance companies are not stupid. They paid out $7 billion because they probably got $7 billion from a covert gold fund that was covered. And it was basically 9/11 was Dick Cheney's way of going to war in Iraq based on 935 lies. And he thought nothing about murdering 3,000 people as a collateral damage, as an act of war. 9/11 was Dick Cheney's planned Pearl Harbor. And Larry Silverstein and the AIG insurance company, their offices were pre-staged with explosives and stuff. Airplanes did not hit the buildings in New York. That was probably drones dressed up to look like airplanes. There are steel beams every 14 inches in the World Trade Center, okay? Mm-hmm. When an airplane hits a building like that, the nose crumbles, the wings catch, and the titanium engines absolutely do not go through those steel beams. The plane falls back, ass backwards, down to the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the Israelis deepened the channel in New York for a year prior to 9/11. And this is told in one of the many books I've reviewed on 9/11. They deepened the channel so that the crime scene could be destroyed as quickly as possible. All right. 9/11 was conceptualized by the Israelis. The Saudis provided logistics support and Saudi passports. And by the way, John Brennan was the chief of station in Saudi Arabia and signed off on all 19 of the visas for the 9/11 hijackers that were patsies. Okay. John Brennan is a very dirty man. He is a Saudi whore and an American traitor. All right. But he's not going to get prosecuted by Donald Trump or anybody else, because that's the way the system works. Now, let me finish up by saying the one chance we the people have, black, white, brown, red, yellow, the one chance we the people have is to have this national meetup from the 4th of July through the end of July. We've created a national meetup called Civics on RIG. Have a national meetup, discuss the Election Reform Act, and then in August, when every member of Congress comes home and cannot hide from their constituents, delegations of citizens, black, white, red, yellow, brown, have to go to their congressmen. Forget about parties. Parties are toxic. Forget about labor unions. Labor unions are corrupt. Forget about religions. Religions are corrupt. Mm-hmm. People have to go to their congressmen and say, let me tell you how this is going to go. You're going to sign this integrity pledge, and you are going to co-sponsor the Election Reform Act in September when you return to Congress, or we are going to turn you into a large pile of fucking pus. You are not going to work for us anymore. Do yes. you understand? That's the conversation that has to happen at the neighborhood level. And Dr. McKinney and I are educators. We will not talk to a single politician. Our national tour, hashtag UnRig, is about educating the American citizen as to what is possible in the next 90 days. And I swear on the heads of my children, it is possible to bury the deep state, take back the power, and give Donald Trump a set of balls.
Well, there you have it, Mr. Robert Davis Steele.
I hope I'm not plug for you.
Yeah, you basically put the nail in the coffin on that one.
I am honest, man. I will not tell a lie. This is the way it is.
I cannot tell you. I appreciate your honesty. I hate that we've run out of time. I have to ask you to come back some other time because there's so much more.
I'd love to be back.
There's so much more I would love to ask you, but I'm going to ask you in closing. For people that are going to see this and people that are going to actually hear this on the audio part of this, where can people find you What are your
Yeah, links, no, I'll make it real simple, Jay Lewis.
Okay.
Hashtag unrig. We own the first four screens.
Okay.
40 search results. Hashtag unrig. Dr. McKinney and I own hashtag unrig. Now, there's a website, unrig.net, that we just created.
Okay.
And it includes a budget for how we will spend every penny of the $250,000 that we're trying to raise. Okay? Total transparency. And Dr. McKinney and I will receive no compensation from this $250,000 or whatever we raise. I would also say if you look up Indiegogo-Unrig, you'll get right to our fundraiser, which today hit $25,000 after 16 days. 16 days, wow. $25,000. We are honored. And I couldn't do this without Dr. McKinney, because I think it's the black, white, man, woman, alt-right, alt-left coolness of our partnership that really makes this sing. Okay? And she and I respect each other with absolute integrity. In fact, I'm a month older than her, but she's like my political mother.
Okay.
And so she tells me, Robert, you have to stop saying these things and you have to start thinking these things. But we're a partnership. What we want to do, I got goosebumps thinking about this. We want the average American to understand that the average American as a collective is smarter and more honest than the average congressman. And it's time to put the average American back into the U.S. government.
What I've been telling people for years is, you know, there is they, you know, when they say there's power in the people, that's true. But you just have to be on the same page and you have to want the same things. And the same page and the same things should be for us all to be enriched, for us all to prosper. You know, we all have to live here. So this whole thought pattern of I'm better than you, I have more money than you, I'm smarter than you, I'm more trendy than you, we have just become a society to where I just don't believe we care about each other anymore. We care more about ourselves and our own security.
Jay Lewis, I would say to you that's deliberate, okay? Part of the problem with the liberal memes that the Democratic Party has been representing is they're trying to basically the two-party tyranny on behalf of the banks has been trying to dumb us down and divide us up, and they've been poisoning us.
Yes.
Weaponized food and bad medicine and all of this stuff. Okay.
Yes.
Now what the public needs to realize is that the U.S. government is inherently dishonest. It is not here to serve the U.S. public. It is a mechanism for transferring wealth from the individual taxpayer to the banks. All right? Now, if we the people demand the 12 points in the Election Reform Act, which they can read at unrig.net, then that creates an honest Congress that can make evidence-based decisions. And that's where I come in. Because I want to help America with an open source agency that provides public intelligence in the public interest. Mm. All right. For example, Donald Trump's infrastructure program that he says is going to cost $1 trillion. That's absolute utter crap. The reason he says it's going to cost $1 trillion is because that's what the banks are telling him they want to lend us. And they want to spend the money on the old industrial era way of doing things. A more intelligent person would come at this from a design point of view and would use the reason I got nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, would use open source everything engineering, which costs 10%. Let me end on that note. A John Deere tractor costs $200,000 and cannot be repaired by a farmer in the field. And the software in that tractor is secret to the point that farmers are suing for right to repair. An open source tractor, which has been created by Marcin Jakubowski of Open Source Ecology, the Global Village Construction Set, an open source tractor, which has all of the functionality of the $200,000 tractor, is completely open, costs $20,000, 10%.
Wow.
And it can be repaired in the field with plug and play parts, many of which can be 3D printed by the farmer using recycled plastic. That's the future. And that's a future Donald Trump does not understand.
Mr. Steele, Robert, I thank you, sir.
Oh, Jay Lewis, this has been an honor, man. I want to come back.
I am just as honored.
I'm counting the minutes until we talk again.
Okay, well, I guarantee you it's going to be sooner than you think. Trust and believe that. I will definitely have you back very soon. Again, thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate you. I love the work that you're doing. Anything that you even think I could do, just let me know. And
tell others, Look, tell all your people to do the meetup. Okay? And what Dr. McKinney and I are available to do is to Skype into meetups. So people can have a meetup, and then they can call us up, and we'll join them.
Okay. Any and all information, please make sure you send it to On the Level, and I will make sure I put it up on my page. Again, thank you very much. We went over time, but, hey, we had a very good conversation. Thank you very much, Robert, for putting us on the level. Can't wait to see you next week. Jay Lewis Mills, On the Level. We are out.
God bless you, man. That was great.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that was great. That was really great. And I owe it to Don. You know, I had a very bad experience with a crazy person in Australia. And Don then set me up with two really world-class interviewers, you and David Corey.
Thank you.
I think I would really like to do, in fact, I'll tell you what, if you send me an email, I'll introduce you to Cynthia McKinney, and you can get her at, she can do Saturdays, Mondays, and Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time.
I would love that. I would really love that.
I will tell her you have to be her next priority.
Yes, she has to be my next guest.
all I need is your email. So, Don, if you can introduce me to Jay Lewis by email, I'll get the Cynthia McKinney interview set up for you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, you've earned it, man. Absolutely. And plus, she's kind of, I don't want to say she's the good side of me, because we both have our good and our bad, but we really do complement each other in a very, very good way. She's much more empathetic. She suffered more. Yeah. She's more political. But I think she will give you a perspective that you'll find completes the picture.
Okay. I look forward to it. And do you live in Los Angeles, Robert?
No, I'm in Oakton, Virginia.
Okay.
However, we're starting to schedule ourselves. I'm going to be in Houston on the 1st of August and Tucson and Phoenix on the 3rd of August. And I would absolutely love to find a group that wanted me to speak in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, I will do everything that I can to come to Phoenix when you're in Phoenix. I used to live in Phoenix. So I would love to come to Phoenix and actually shake your hand and meet you.
Oh, well, that's an honor. We're posting at unrigged.net under the meetup page. We're posting our schedule as it develops. And as it finalizes, there will be links for people to sign up. But we're actually making good use of the meetup software and the meetup offering. I mean, my dream would be there are 435 congressional districts. Mm-hmm. I would love to have 435 meetups form on the 4th of July and then meet weekly in July toward a confrontation with each respective member of Congress in August when the summer recess is on and these guys can't hide. Oh, by the way, let me just show you. We at unrigged.net.
Don't remember. I can't see you.
Oh, shit, you can't see you. I'm sorry. I'm holding up one of these small 4th of July flags that is upside down. It's the International Distress Signal.
Okay, yeah.
You hoist a flag upside down, it means you're in distress.
Yeah.
So we're telling people they can buy these 4th of July flags, turn the flag upside down, and then paste a piece of paper under it that says hashtag unrig. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to have everybody across America post the American flag upside down and say, Mr. President, you said we have a rigged system. Why are you not leading hashtag unrig?
Unrig. Exactly. Yeah, that's a pretty common sense question.
Well, I want it asked.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, listen, this has been great. And
thank you,
Don,
sir.
If you give me an email, I will absolutely introduce you guys to Cynthia McKinney and make that a priority. because she needs to be seen more. I've been carrying the load because she's in Bangladesh teaching, but okay. Now she's starting to get into it. And I think an interview with you would be an absolutely phenomenal thing. We're also speaking in St. Louis on the 3rd together before a black audience.
Okay.
There's an event in St. Louis that is commemorating one of the greatest evils against black people that ever happened in Missouri. And I don't have all the details, but we've been invited. And to her credit, she basically said she wouldn't go without me. So I'm her okay. token white boy.
Okay.
I'm well, here to listen. Carry her jacket.
I look forward to hearing from you. I'm glad that I made this meeting. I hope we can continue talking. I would love to just have, you know, just regular conversation and just
all
listen.
Right, so tell
to what
me,
you
how
have
did you lose
say.
Your how did you lose your eye?
It was two different eye surgeons in 2013. They were pretty neglectful in the care. Yeah.
Did you get any legal satisfaction?
Well, I tried, and there were experts that were asked, and at the end of the day, I was told that there was negligence, but there wasn't enough to bring a case. I've never understood what that meant. But you know, I got a television career out of it. I'm doing this right now. In my mind, beggars can't be choosers, so I won. You know, that's how I see it.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I mean, I've given up $6 million in 8 years of my life, and all I got is this T-shirt from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee.
So we do it. We do it for all the small reasons, and that just shows.
You just follow your destiny. Well, yeah. It's funny because I had a detached retina. And so I haven't had what you've had, which is the real deal. But for a moment there, I experienced what it was like to be blind in one eye.
Yeah.
And scary.
Yeah, it is.
I was in tears and I was helpless.
Yeah, this happened in 2013, and I'm still to this day getting used to it. And like I've got zero depth perception now.
Well,
so
it gives no meaning to blindside.
I'm still getting used to all of that, but you know, every day that I wake up is still a blessing. So I
got all four limbs.
Exactly.
We've got over 75,000 amputees from Iraq. And a big problem is that we got so good at saving people in the first hour that instead of having a 6 wounded to 1 dead, we ended up with 16 wounded to 1 dead. And half of the 16 were amputees, multiple amputees. So we got too good at saving people on the battlefield and then sentencing them to a life without limbs.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes the thought pattern is, well, at least you still have your life. Yeah, that's not, I mean, I don't think you can say that. It's hard for somebody with all four limbs to tell somebody less one or two limbs, at least you still have your life.
And by the way, if I were president, euthanasia would be legal in every state.
Yeah.
You know, my father's in a bad way down in Florida, and I know he would like to just have a couple of stiff drinks and pass, but he can't do it. So instead, you've got this ghoul industry. There's actually this predatory industry that just tries to take every penny from old people until they die. And they're just stripping their assets systematically. All right. Well, enough negative stuff. Hey, for me, this was a great interview, and
thank you,
I would
sir.
Love to help you, but I will absolutely set you up. I will, once I have your email, I'll introduce you to the author of this book.
Okay.
Have you considered Peter Dale Scott, the author of The Deep State?
You know, once I started researching you, that's when I actually came across him, and I did a little investigation on him. That would be another dream interview.
You got it. I mean, look, I can't assure you that he'll accept because he's in the middle of writing another book, but anybody I know, one of the benefits of my life as a top reviewer is I know a lot of authors who have written really cool books.
Yes.
So anything, what you might do, once I get your email, I'm going to send you my review page where you can browse my 2,500 reviews. Okay. And I've got books grouped by category on political failure, economic failure, cultural failure, and so on. So you can browse to your heart's content, and anybody you think I might know, I will absolutely introduce them to you and just say this was one of the best interviews I've ever had. The only recommendation I would make to you is that the next time you do video, you want to change the camera down so that you can be sure you're getting your shoulders.
Oh, okay.
I've been looking at your chin from your chin up.
Really?
Yeah, there. That's the way it should be right now.
Oh.
And I apologize. We started. That's okay, man. It's the first time. We started, and then I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay.
But yeah, right there, the way you have it right there right now is perfect.
Okay. And my last comment to you, you were speaking of people that are amputees. I'm no big celebrity. I'm not even a celebrity. I was just a guy that got a good opportunity and was on an NBC TV show. But if there are like hospitals out there that have veterans in them that I can just go and visit them and talk to them and do anything like that, that's the type of thing that I like to do. So if you have any kind of a connection like that, I would definitely love to take advantage of that also.
I don't, honestly. Okay. It's wonderful that you're in that spirit. But I honestly think that what you could do in the next 30 to 90 days is start interviewing people from different congressional districts and ask them, what are you doing about hashtag unrig? Have you even heard about it?
Okay.
You could be, now I'm not going to put you in the same class as Barack Obama.
Sure.
But you could be a community organizer.
I get that. Well, I hope I can. I mean,
use your voice to mobilize.
And that's what my show is for. That's what I want to do. I want to have conversations with people. So, I mean, you actually opened up a whole new world.
Can of worms.
As far as people that, you know, as far as people that I can talk to and how I can go about making a difference. So this interview was more of a gift for me than you probably know.
Oh, well, that's kind of you. I mean, but I would really say to you, in the next 30 to 60 days, your voice could actually get people to start thinking about taking back the power. I mean, part of the problem is that 47% of the public did not vote in this last election. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that they're dumber and shit. But the other part of it is voter suppression. And there's voter suppression of whites as well as blacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's this whole system that tries to decide who gets to vote and whose vote will count. And, you know, and from where I sit, we need to bring everybody back into the system.
Everybody, yes.
And so I don't know if it's going to succeed. I will tell you off the record that Cynthia and I have talked about running for the White House in 2020. Now, I honest to God would rather that Trump took her as vice president and I ran the open source agency, because that's my gift, to be a top intelligence guy, but an honest top intelligence guy.
Yeah.
I think that would work best. And then if Trump decides not to run for a second term, then she would be positioned to run for president. But she and I have talked about me as president and her as vice president, and I don't think that's going to happen. I really, really want to try to leverage Trump, but I'm losing hope.
I get it. I do.
Yeah. All right. We march on, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from you.
As soon as I get an email, you will get two introductions, and then after that, I will speak when spoken to.
All right. Thank you very kindly, Robert. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless, sir. Bye-bye.
Good night. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.